Blackhawks fans, welcome in to season 5, episode 10 of the Four Feathers podcast. We got a full crew, Johnny Nani, alongside Tony on tap, and our guy, Ron Luce. How are we doing today, gentlemen?
Cheers, boys. Crack them. I see Ron. Is that a Guinness there? Ooh.
Sure is.
Guinness. Johnny's busting out the Oktoberfest. We're back talking Blackhawks. I'm happy to be here. How about you guys?
Cheers. Yes, I am happy to be here, gentlemen. Guys, I got a Blackhawks Oktoberfest mug that we got during preseason last year. So I'm going to enjoy that because I still got some Oktoberfest left over. I know we are here on the first day of November, but hey, the Oktoberfest, still tasty as the calendar flips here. Guys, Hawks happy hour. It's good to be back. Unfortunately, not a whole lot of Blackhawks hockey this week, but there was a game earlier from Monday, and then also the Friday game. Jekyll and Hyde is what the Blackhawks have been, and that's the title of this episode here. A little bit of volatility going on. We'll touch on that. Some new lines. Reichel going back to the wing. Take a look at what's on tap next and ruffle some feathers per usual. Guys, I'm looking forward to it. Cheers.
Cheers, boys. Yeah, it's always a pleasure to be back on with you guys. A little midweek happy hour always cures the weekday blues. So we're here to
right,
have a good time.
Right. With this little augmented schedule here, usually we'd probably come at you like Mondays and Thursdays, which we had been doing for the first couple of weeks of the season. But with this break, we figured we wanted to have a couple games to talk about, and then we will regroup and kind of resume our regular schedule on Monday because we will have a back-to-back slate from the weekend to discuss. Before we get into all the topics on today's docket, make sure you go and subscribe to OnTap Sportsnet on YouTube. That's where you can get your comments in here. Like our guy Skokes, he's always in here right here. We can drop them down below here, but you got to go to YouTube or Facebook for that. Unfortunately, cannot see the comments from X or Twitter rolling in. So it's OnTap Sportsnet YouTube. And as always, check out OnTapSportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Boys, let's jump into it. A couple games to discuss. Jekyll and Hyde's the best way I can describe it. Volatile. Your guys' thoughts just from the Friday and Monday games here.
Yeah, I think just quickly the way that I would put it, gentlemen, if you told me the Hawks were going to go 1-1 on this road trip, it would have been the flip-flop. So it was a very weird two games out west, but they still come away with a split, I mean, which is pretty cool, but not quite tough because they probably should have won both games, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I'm with Ron. I would have thought the opposites for these results here. Very happy with the win in Vegas. That was fun. That was probably the best game that I've seen this year in terms of entertainment factor. And then the worst game just right after that. So I think you titled the episode very appropriately, Johnny. Jekyll and Hyde Blackhawks makes a lot of sense.
Yep, that's what they were on this road trip. Just a quick two-game swing. Let's start with the good, go chronological order here. 4-3 overtime win at Vegas on Friday, handing the Golden Knights their first loss of the season. Sure, they still did get a point there. However, they were undefeated leading into that, and obviously one of those wins previously against the Hawks spoiled the home opener for Chicago. So you go down 2-0 early, but storm back, and my God, guys, we got to talk about it. The Connor Bedard goal. What an unbelievable sweeping pass to Nick Foligno. I think this was his best game as a Blackhawk. And obviously, Connor Bedard's lethal finish. Go ahead, ooze over it.
Oh, I'll ooze. I'm pretty convinced, gentlemen, that I scared the living piss out of every person in my household when Bedard scored that goal. Because it naturally came out. There was this moment of just jubilation and kind of freaking out really over it because he gets the pass, great pass from Nick Foligno. Even Bedard said it, nice fucking pass. Gets the beauty of a pass. He's wide open in the slot. You can't do that with a guy like number 98. And just the finish, I'm 90% sure. I think I did you guys saw the viral clip going around from the other night, right? With Steph Curry when he crossed Dylan Brooks over like 5 times and he's running back the other way. And he's like, ah! That was me after the Connor Bedard goal. I was absolutely losing my mind. It was beautiful. And guys, honestly, that goal too, for the sake of that game, I think really gave the Blackhawks that sense of life that they needed to eventually win the game in overtime.
Yeah, Ron. I mean, I'm talking about a little bit with Foligno up there playing with Bedard. We had that episode when the first announcement that Taylor Hall was going to be week to week. And we went through a bunch of names. I didn't want to break up that line with Foligno and Perry. And that's since been broken up. I think Foligno up there with Bedard right now looks pretty good. And that pass right there and just the chemistry that that can build between the two of them, that's some good signs there. And that's good for the young kid. You know, and obviously when you give him any sort of time and space, there's going to be just highlight reel goals aplenty coming off of his stick. That was Ron. I know you were screaming. I was out in the garage. I'm pretty sure the whole neighborhood fucking heard me scream on that one. I mean, it was, that was just pure filth, pure filth.
Absolutely, guys. I think you guys covered that one perfectly there. Let's get into it, guys. First overtime game of the year. We felt like we had two, three during preseason, but the first official one. So Rally Sigs had to come out and they worked. They worked. Shout out to our guy Schwartz. You made that edit. Overtime kills being the warning label on that. But hey, the Blackhawks survived this one. You know, maybe heart rate spiked a little bit, but they were able to convert on a power play in overtime on the 4-on-3. Great keep by Philip Kurashev. And hey, just a couple games into his return, you know, late start to the season for him due to that wrist injury that kept him out to begin. Hey, I think he's played really well. And it was just a very nice shot. Nice screen by Corey Perry. Good moment for number 23 here.
Yeah, I think Kurashev is a guy that those that have followed Blackhawks hockey the last few seasons as in-depth as we have know about and are kind of ready for him to take that next step forward. He's still young enough where the development is still aplenty for a guy like Kurashev. That was a moment for me, gentlemen, where it really did feel like, oh, wow, okay, this guy's going to probably play a big role offensively in this team this year, and I don't think any of us might have totally realized it. Because if you look at where he was at in the diamond, obviously it was rotation and everything like that. He's up top, right? I mean, that's a Connor Bedard place. That's a, you know, a highly skilled position being up top like that. For him to rotate, the beautiful hand-eye coordination to keep that puck in the zone that Pietrangelo tried to clear from the end line, and then just a beauty of a shot. Perfect finish for what was a game that was definitely needing Rally Six, because my adrenaline was pretty high at the end of that one, gentlemen.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting a ton of looks, guys, and in spots, as you mentioned, Ron, that are high-profile spots on the ice, too. So it'll be interesting to see if he, you know, continues to do some of that. I know we've got another game to talk about that isn't very good, so there was no real carryover, in my opinion, in his game. But to have him show up in those kind of spots, you're going to need somebody. And we talked about this a couple of years ago, guys, when it was Patrick Kane on this team. And you said, you know, you're going to get your goals out of him, but where is the secondary scoring going to come from? He's one of those guys that we've got to look at and say, you're going to need a good year out of a Philip Kurashev to watch that step in his development to determine if he is a top six guy when this team is competitive. I think he still falls into the bottom pairings here, or the bottom lines. On a competitive team, but it's good to see this guy have some scoring touch. And you're gonna, like I said, you're gonna need that down the road. And as of right now, you're still missing one of your biggest offensive weapons in Hall, and having him step up there and provide that scoring, cap off a win. What more can you ask for out of him?
Right. I want to shelve the Philip Kurashev discussion just for a moment, because we will get to him later in one of our other segments here. Two, three more notes from this game. Ron, you and I got on this show prior to Thursday's game, or Friday's game. I think we were on Thursday, and we were kind of ripping Luke Richardson apart, right, for the decision to have Andreas Athanasiou scratch. Well, guess what? It worked out just fine, and I thought Mackenzie Entwistle, who stepped in, played a fine game himself, was pretty physical in that one. So that, another just
that whole fourth line.
Chad Luke Richardson masterclass, yeah. Ron. I should just not doubt him anymore.
You know, it's funny too, Johnny, because we talked about it. It was like, oh, you know, maybe he just wants a different look. And then the report came out that he was like, hey, we need more from Athanasiou. I was like, okay, Johnny and Tony were right. They're like, it's him trying to send a message to AA and whatever. And you were like, well, aren't they going to need his speed? Johnny, I would make the argument that outside of the top line, because of Bedard and how good Foligno played, and obviously Kurashev's game winner, that fourth line might have been the second best line the Hawks had the whole night. They were constantly pressuring Vegas. They were all over them the entire stretch of the game. And to your point, I think Reese Johnson and Mackenzie Entwistle played fantastic games, obviously not getting on the score sheet. But, Johnny, they got the job done. And right. Sometimes just a different look against a certain team works.
I know some people will go and, like, bitch about this, but I like results over process. So amen, that's me. that's just me. All right. Last note from this game. Unfortunately, Alex Vlasic was injured, took a high hit from Brett Howden in the second period there. Unfortunately, in concussion protocol, he returned to Chicago, missed the game at Arizona, which we'll talk about here. Tough loss having Vlasic out, guys. Just real quick on him. I thought he has been arguably the best defenseman on this team prior to this injury.
I would tend to agree with you, Johnny. And, you know, playing in the top D pair, he's big. He's got the size. You can't teach that. He's a huge, huge part of this defense right now. And I think, you know, as we talk about this 8-1 loss to Arizona on Monday, I think that there's some things that you can point out in this game and say, I would have liked to have seen him on the ice and maybe this doesn't get out of hand. I hope he recovers quick, but that's going to make this defense look a whole lot worse, in my opinion, without him out there.
Yeah, just to quickly add, I think we can continue to confidently say Vlasic's the furthest developed defenseman of the young group that's coming. So to see him down, I think from a results standpoint, Johnny, results over process, right? I mean, from a results standpoint, Vlasic is getting the job done. But from a process standpoint, he's also showing incredible development at the NHL level too. So it's really, really tough to see him down and missing what's going to be important game action. Hopefully because of the weird Hawks schedule early on in this season with so many breaks between games that once they do get into those 3 and 4 game weeks that he's back by the end of the month, but yeah. A tough blow nonetheless to the defensive unit.
There was a positive development on Alex Vlasic. We'll kind of save a little bit more of the injury report for later down here because there's another name that's involved in this, but you can go and check it out on tapsportsnet.com. I've got all the details up on there. Just click on the Blackhawks tab and you'll find it. All right, guys, Isaac Phillips subbed in for Alex Vlasic, and he and the rest of the team had a fucking brutal game on Monday in Arizona. Guys, this was the scariest horror movie I watched all Halloween season. And Tony can tell you, I've been watching horror movies since mid-August to get ready for spooky season.
Confirmed.
See, gentlemen, I am not a big scary movie guy, but this was the scariest thing I watched all spooky season for sure, because it felt like every time I would maybe just for a hot second take my eye off the television and look back, and that score just kept getting bigger. And I was like, why is it? What is happening? I didn't understand it. I felt like I was in a horror movie, gentlemen. It was really, really bad. It just truly, you know, you heard from Richardson today about that Arizona game. And he said, he's like, they just got away from their process. They stopped playing their brand of hockey that we've continued to see them play so far. And now, unfortunately, you see what happens when they get away from their game.
Right.
Everything falls apart and they just look lost. Soderblom didn't look the best, admittedly. I think he let in a couple of pucks that probably shouldn't have gone in.
Tony even said he would have rather seen Peter Mrazek. And folks, if you haven't listened to Four Feathers Pod, that is a huge development here. Tony is not a Peter Mrazek guy.
Such a huge development that screenshot is now taken and will live forever. Right. Anytime that Soderblom has a bad game, I think it just needs to be posted.
Right.
Or just Tony.
Or if Tony just gets Peter on my nerves Mrazek talking too much shit about my boy Peter. So.
No, but gentlemen, it was the scariest spooky season movie that I watched for sure.
Yeah,
that Monday night game.
I think Luke Richardson kind of summed it up best. Chris Foster has posted a clip of it from his post-game media availability, and he said, you know, I thought we actually had, despite trailing, what were they down, 3-1 after one? Despite that, he said, I think we had an okay first period overall. Obviously, they got on the board first with that early goal, which we'll talk about because future. But Luke Richardson's assessment of it was that, you know, you get one bad bounce where Murphy just kind of took a spill behind the net and it opened up a scoring chance right there, right in front in the house, Ron, for Arizona right there. And then after that, they were not able to get back on track. And I think he used a word, and it's fitting. You usually would say, oh, why would you ever call your team this? But he said that's our immaturity showing. Well, with where the Blackhawks are at right now in their rebuild, I think it's, you know, you're going to see more of these, unfortunately, but it's all part of the learning process. And as long as they're taking something from it each time and negating, you know, kind of like shrinking down those sample sizes that are the bad stretches, so to say, then that will be a win in the long run, right? Because we, let's just be honest with ourselves, we're not competing for a playoff spot this year. I've been trying to tell people that. Just, you're going to see these, some of these, this volatility play out, and it's going to result in where they are now. towards the bottom of the barrel in terms of standings and points. So that's just the way it goes. Guys, let's key in. I'll give each of you guys a topic here. The Blackhawks may have lost the game, but they won the fights, Tony. Tell me about it.
They did win the fights. And Johnny, that's the most important thing here is what the fight card says at the end of the night. I mean, man, there was two really good bouts in this one, and the Hawks walked away victorious in each of these. I forget who was in the first one, Johnny.
Foligno.
He did a number on that guy. So I was talking about the guy in Arizona. O'Brien. Yeah, just a nice black eye shiner in the penalty box afterwards. I was actually very surprised to see him up in the action through the rest of the game, because I don't know how he was out there on the ice. He scored a goal. I don't know how he scored a goal with one eye, but I mean, that thing looked just completely fucked up. And then, you know, the Jared Tenorti, man, he is probably my favorite guy to watch him throw down. And the best part of this fight, and Johnny, you captured all of these, put them up over on the Four Feathers pod over on X, so you could go watch these clips, but I'm pretty sure he dragged this guy down and then pulled him back up just to put him back down again, which is just absolutely cruel punishment right there. But it sends a message.
Jack McBain getting tossed around like a rag doll. Jared Tenorti is cool and tough, guys. That's
I would not want to fight either of those guys. Would you like Foligno, Tenorti?
And Tenorti's massive. Like, that dude's an NFL offensive tackle on skates, 6 foot six. Like, monster human.
Tough as nails. Obviously, you saw from his facial injuries and the returns that he had last year. Just basically doesn't let anything deter him. Tough as nails. So he's a good guy to have out there to protect. I wish that those fights could have resulted in like an uptick in play, even if the Hawks just had a surge of like a couple goals. And
I think it kept them in the fight momentum game though, Johnny.
Still lose by like two or something like that. But it's like, okay, at least you had like some pushback there. I'd have liked to see that. Obviously, that's the end result, you know, Tony, when you play Chell in the fight and then their team bench energy goes like way up. That's what I'd like to see, but not a video game, such as life. Ron, topic for you. The future, man. Tell us about that first goal, because this was the only real pretty highlight of the night. The fights were gritty highlights, but this was a pretty highlight.
This was a pretty highlight, and it's a highlight that I think is worthy of being on numerous highlight reels, despite the ending to this game, especially because it was, 29 seconds into the game? Just immediately right out the gate, Korchinski's got his head up. You heard him comment about it after the game. He's like, Connor was calling for that puck as soon as I got it. That's what you like to see. Korchinski head up all the way, saw Bedard, perfect pass on the tape, and then again, Bedard, just that wicked shot. We got to see it twice on this Western road trip. It was an absolute beauty, Johnny. And like you said, this is the future. I mean, we saw how many goals in our lifetime that involved number 2, number 88, number 19. I think we're going to see a lot of goals between number 55 and number 98.
Yeah. Tony, takes on that.
I mean, it was just pretty to watch. What else do you want when you're watching the Blackhawks this season? You want to see Connor Bedard score goals. You want to see young guys involved in these plays. You want to feel like this is going to eventually become a competitive team down the road. And this is what we're watching for. I mean, that's the pinnacle of it. Unfortunately, it came, you know, right when this game started and the wheels fall off, but that was enough for me, at least as a Blackhawks fan. And Johnny, this is sort of echoing on what you just said a little bit ago. This team's not competing for a playoff spot this year. We're going to drill this into people's heads by the end of this season. But that's what you want to see. You want to see Korchinski to Bedard. I don't know if there's another combination on this team that gets you guys more excited, but that's the one that gets me excited right now.
Nope, right now. I think the only other ones would be, you know, you throw your Vlasics and you like to see some steps from Kaiser there. But obviously, Korchinski's the headliner. He's, you know, a high-end first-round pick, just like Connor Bedard. So that's exactly what you want to see, Tony. I agree. All right, in this post-game, if you're unfamiliar with OnTap Sportsnet here, Sox on Tap is our Sox show, and Tony and I give our musings on the Southsiders over there during the summer. It was a very just flush it moment. And if you're unfamiliar, it's Pedro Grifol, the White Sox manager, Mr. Clean, as we like to call him. And Tony put out a little request because we were still up late, enjoying some misery beers, unfortunately. Tony, and you were watching the post game show and you wanted Boyle to drop a Pedro Grifol just flush it. Did we get it?
We did. Boy, did we get a just flush it from Pat Boyle. And I didn't know that, you know, Pat Boyle takes requests, but now that I know that he does, I mean, yeah, we can toss him some other stuff here from the content factory that we have over here at OnTap Sportsnet and Four Feathers Podcast. I was elated to hear that just reverberating through my family room, the just flush it. It made me feel, Johnny, like we were back in summer, that it's warm outside, you know. It's been cold here for the past couple of days. We saw snow yesterday. Made me feel like I was just right back in summer, ready to go to Lot B with you and crack some beers and watch some shitty baseball, because that was electric. And thank you, Mr. Pat Boyle, if you hear this. Thank you very much for giving me that brief moment of happiness.
Praise up to Pat Boyle, Tony. I was just going to say, it made me laugh, and that's what I needed after watching that disgusting horror movie that was the Blackhawks' effort against Arizona. So, Ron, I said it before last season, let Pat Boyle be your therapist. You're going to need it if the team's enduring losses and having some up and down play like they are. And Pat Boyle delivered. Pat Boyle always delivers. He is the best pre-post game host in Chicago. I will die on that hill forever. You can go and feed me any other name and I will refute it with numerous Pat Boyle clips. And now we have a clip of him saying, just flush it, like Pedro Grifol. So I love it. Tony, great job on that. Glad you got that out of Mr. PB. Okay. Boys, time to move on to practice now. Obviously, no games. That was the end of the game action for this segment of the show, and we're moving into practice. We're talking about practice? Yeah, we are, because there are some important things coming out of here. And Ron, you got the biggest development. You wrote about it over at ontapsportsnet.com. Full details over there. Go and check it out. Once again, click the Blackhawks tab. But Ron, what happened today at practice that was so big?
Yeah, I think a thing that we have kicked around here on the show probably more than once, I would say, so far this season, and really something that's been kicked around by a number of other people, including friend of the program, Mr. Charlie Romiliotis, about moving Lucas Reichel back to the wing. And that happened today in practice. He was on the second line left wing. He was skating alongside Mr. Andreas Athanasiou, who was at center. And then Taylor Radish was the right winger on that line. They got to give him a different look. He's pointless in 9 games so far this year. And I think
no point in Reichel. No point in
Reichel. No point in Reichel. No Reichel in warmups. Nonetheless, I think really this is just a move to try and get him back on track and to try to get some type of offensive touch going for him. Give him a different look, maybe. I mean, he had a lot of success playing wing when he was up with the Hawks at the end of last year. Played a grand total of 23 games with the Blackhawks, but really it was that 12 points and 18 game stretch down toward the end there that really put him on the map, I think, coming into this year for a lot of Blackhawks fans. So I think they're just trying to get Reichel back to his scoring ways. And but ironically, after, you know, hearing from Reichel himself, it doesn't sound like he's too happy with the move, Johnny.
Right. I've got a few just follow-ups here. Richardson even said, doesn't sound like it's completely permanent. He says, we might even move him back. He gave a nice explanation. Thanks to Joe Brand, WGN pre and post show host, for sharing that clip out of Luke Richardson today. But then Lucas Reichel responded. He said, you know, of course I'm pissed. I'm frustrated. Want to score. It's more fun when you score. That's why I'm a forward. I kind of got a chuckle out of that. It's funny. But I try to stay positive and keep working. You know, that kind of cliche hockey answer there. But he added that he wants to play center and he's starting to feel more comfortable there. I like that they're not completely closing the door on it, but I do also like the fact that they're trying to just jumpstart him, because you know what? Sometimes even if it's just like an empty netter, you just need to see one go in to, like, you know, just get yourself like going. It's like, you know, in baseball when you get that little like Kansas City special just to break like a, you know, an 0-for-14 slump or something like that. I feel like that's what Lucas Reichel needs. So I like this decision. And obviously still a couple days of practice. I think they're going to do a gym day on Thursday, but they'll be back at it Friday. They'll have the morning skate Saturday. So we'll see how this all shakes out. There also might be a return of Taylor Hall. We'll talk about him more in a minute, but I guess the question that I would pose here, just based on this, based on today's practice lines, that's all we can go off of. Can't look ahead and know what Friday or Saturday is going to bring. When Taylor Hall returns, would you reunite Reichel, Athanasiou, and Kurashev with Reichel playing on the wing there? Or would you let Kurashev remain on the top line and keep cooking with Bedard?
Ron and I are both doing the same thing here. I don't know the answer to that question, Johnny. I really don't. I'm looking at these lines right now from practice today. Are you suggesting that Foligno stays up on the top line there, Johnny?
You're Chad Luke Richardson. you can make the lines how you want. I would say if you're going for optimal Lucas Reichel, like, you know, get him going, that kind of vein that we just talked about there, I would be in favor of reuniting the line that found success last year. Because you remember, they came in bunches when Lucas Reichel was humming with that line, and that group was together for a significant amount of time towards the end of last season. It was a very nice highlight among a stretch of bad hockey. And obviously, Lucas Reichel getting going, important for this team, for the future of this team, the president of this team, what have you. Connor Bedard's talented. You can put fucking, you know, not saying you sure you have to have playmakers around him, but he's just so good that I don't think he absolutely needs Philip Kurashev on his wing to be successful.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think especially once Taylor Hall comes back, I think it makes the line shuffling easier. Gentlemen, I want to pose a question, I think, to each of you, kind of piggybacking off of this. Do you think because of the chemistry that number 23 and number 89 had with Reichel last season, that maybe that's what helps get Reichel jump-started back at center? Is being flanked by Kurashev and Athanasiou rather than he flanking one of the two of them at center. I think that's maybe something that we can consider here where they can play off of that chemistry, but allow Reichel to maybe get another shot at center. Because, gentlemen, quick thing stat-wise that I want to bring up, despite him being pointless, 61% in the dot against Arizona on Monday night. Lucas Reichel's been pretty good in the faceoff dot for a guy that's super young.
And take his comments, you know, for what they are, too, because he said it. He's starting to feel more comfortable there. And there you go, Ron. That's a stat that backs it up right there. I would start with AA in the middle because AA had himself some decent shifts there when they did kind of shuffle up the middle. And that's, you know, Luke Richardson's analysis of it, too. So if he believes that's the case there, I'd say just to get the jump start. It's like, you know, sometimes you got to spray the WD-40 on a little bit to get the gears churning. Maybe that's just what it needs. And then, sure, you can shuffle it within. Within game, AA can center sometimes, Reichel can center other times. Then when you finally have that confidence going, you can start the Lucas Reichel at the full-time center position again. And guess what? If it starts to stagnate again, you have options then that you know worked the last time to get him going. That's my take.
I would agree with you there, and that's sort of where my train of thought was, Johnny, is sort of rotate him through a little bit, even in-game situation, because I don't want them to abandon the possibility. And Ron, I think we had a lot of dialogue on this in an episode that you and I did together earlier this year on how long he's going to wind up sticking at center. I think you asked me if I would move him back to the wing. Obviously the offensive production has been a problem so far this season. I like Johnny's idea, jumpstart it, but don't completely close the door on this. I still want him to take that leap. I really do.
Both of them, in terms of Richardson and Reichel, were smart with their comments today, and they basically left the door open for all possibilities here.
Yeah, well put.
All right, let's move on to the next thing, because there's a puzzle piece here that kind of dictates how things can shake out down the lineup, because Taylor Hall is progressing. You can go and check out the full injury update on tapsportsnet.com. I have it there. He obviously is out with a shoulder injury on IR, retroactive to October 21st. So he was actually eligible, if he was healthy enough, to come off IR and could have played Monday, given that 7-day, you know, time span that he had to be out of game action. But he skated on his own before practice on Wednesday, could return to practice on Friday. We'll likely know more then. But guys, I just think this is such a big piece because, you know, I talked about, you know, sure, you want to have talent around Bedard, but he's good enough to, you know, maybe help get it done without. And if Lucas Reichel's more important here to help jumpstart, so to say, Taylor Hall sliding back in there would just be the perfect opportunity to execute the plan that I just laid out.
Yeah, he sure would. And I think too, guys, I think Taylor Hall is just such an important piece for Connor Bedard really at this point, and getting him back in the lineup and him being healthy. I'm almost wondering what a line of Taylor Hall and his former Boston Bruin teammate, Nick Foligno, would look like with Connor Bedard too, maybe at some point here. Give kind of that little bit of chemistry, it seems, that they've all kind of developed in different ways together. See if that fires off, because Johnny, to your point, you can get exactly what you want out of that second line then. And then you have enough versatility and depth within your bottom six at that point to probably roll three pretty competent lines, as long as you can get those top two lines really starting to churn and work.
I'm still thinking about this top line, because now we've thrown out like three or four different combinations, and I'm making lines in my head. And I don't know if Foligno stays up there. I think the question I have for you guys are, you know, do you really want to throw Foligno on the right wing, or do you want to keep him at left somewhere down the lineup? And that sort of lends me to believe you might see Kershaw and Radish flip, with Radish up to the top line,
right,
with Bedard and Hall. And I really like that for some reason. It's just jumping off the page at me, thinking that that would be a great line one. And then reunite my favorite line, the Perry Foligno Dickinson line down at three, so you can move Donato down to the fourth line where he belongs. I know Ron doesn't like that, but that's what I would do.
Right. I like that, Tony, because I've also questioned, does Nick Foligno belong on a top line, even on this team? But I got to say, his play in that Vegas game for sure definitely sold me on that. He can play alongside there. I don't think you're going to get that exact level of effort every single time just because of his age and, you know, his skill set being what it is. But hey, he turned back the clock and put it on an absolute spinorama move. I know he didn't score, but it was sweet, and even collected his own rebound and helped set up another scoring chance after that. So, you know, it's nice to have that kind of versatility to where you can, you know, okay, yeah, in an ideal world, he's probably a third liner. But you can go and jump them up to that top unit as well. So we'll see how it shakes out. Taylor Hall, keep an eye on it Friday, possibly going to return to practice. So they'll have the morning skate on Saturday as well. Guys, let's move into some of our weekly segments here and ruffle some feathers. Ruffle some feathers. What are you getting people upset about, or what are you upset about today, Ron? Go ahead.
Gentlemen, I am upset about the fact that we have almost a full week of time in between Blackhawks hockey. I think it's horseshit, and I get it. I understand why the NHL's probably done a lot of this. They're trying not to compete with the World Series. They're trying not to compete with NFL football. We've seen it kind of throughout the schedule already. I think we've identified amongst ourselves kind of the opportunities where they see fit. But holy hell, I am bashing my head off a wall craving Blackhawks hockey right now. And it's almost tragic that we have to wait all the way until Saturday to get it again. So NHL schedule makers, please don't ever do this to us again, because I am in a glass case of emotion right now without Chicago Blackhawks hockey. But thank goodness, gentlemen, that toward the end of this month, the schedule starts to look like what it normally does, where it's two and maybe at most three days in between games. And then we get back into that flow of Blackhawks hockey more regularly on our television. So I'll be happy about that, but to ruffle some feathers, figure it the fuck out, NHL, because I can't go 5 days without Blackhawks hockey.
Yep. Amen to that, Ron. Honestly, if I had it my way, the Blackhawks would play every night, but that's just me. You know, I know that's unrealistic. That doesn't happen. That's not going to happen.
Make it like baseball.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Make it 162. Yeah, why not?
Yes, please. Play three game series, right? Yeah. Kind of like, remember the throwback to like the shortened season when they played those series where a team would come in for like, you know, a weekend.
Like two games. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That, no, I'm with you, Ron. I miss it. It sucks. But, you know, you at least you get your midweek hockey fix here with Four Feathers Pod. I'm going to ruffle some feathers in a minute. We got a question here from a listener. What about Vlasic? How's he doing? Unfortunately, you know, he had a great start to the year. Unfortunately, out. Go and check out the injury update on tapsportsnet.com. They got some positive news regarding him. So probably still a little bit away from a return, but at least progressing in the right direction after having concussion-like symptoms. Okay, on for me to ruffle some feathers. Guys, I'm ruffling the feathers of anyone who's a fan of like mid-80s rock here or Simple Minds, because Don't You Forget About Me has to be the worst goal song in the league. I was watching some Canucks Nashville last night, and the Canucks scored like five goals, so I had to hear it five times. That song, it might be a good song. It might have been critically acclaimed. It might have done well in billboards and charts and all that. That does not get you fucking pumped up after a goal, but I wouldn't expect anything else from Vancouver. The Pacific Northwest is weird, man. And I think that goal song absolutely sucks. It just made me think about the video of when they put the headphones on Canucks players, and, you know, they played Chelsea Dagger, and they were like throwing them off Ryan Kessler and, you know, Luongo and all of them. That's what a real goal song should sound like. So you guys have any other nominations, any other worst goal songs in the league that you've heard?
Ooh. Well, apparently I heard the Leafs Pursuit of Happiness.
They're like rotating, yeah.
Yeah, it was not a fan favorite.
That's better than Don't You Forget About Me, though. I'm sorry.
Well, Johnny, don't you forget that the Chicago Blackhawks just have a really good goal song, and we're kind of spoiled. So not everybody's as cool and tough as the Chicago Blackhawks when it comes to goal songs.
That, you know what? That is a good good point, Ron. We are, but I will critique the league when I watch around because you know what? I have to do this. If the Blackhawks played every night, I wouldn't have this problem because I wouldn't be watching the Canucks last night. But
see, but now because of that goal song, Johnny, you are not going to forget about the Vancouver Canucks as a result when you probably should because they are pedestrian, piss poor, and just scum of the earth.
Also, it ruffles my feather. I think all of you guys hear that Sam Lafferty landed up on the Canucks. I'd much rather have him still with our guy Max Domi up in Toronto there. Gosh, I know they were just maneuvering salary there in Toronto, but man, that pisses me off. I hate seeing Sam Lafferty in Canucks colors. Just weird, just wrong. He has too much TWTW for that team. They don't deserve him. So I got another one, guys. This is in relation to the Blackhawks in-game entertainment department. And Jenna Rose, great in-game host for the Blackhawks. You've seen her if you've gone to a game basically ever since COVID ended and they opened the arena fully back up. She's been the host for several years now. She does a great job. She's taking on another gig, guys, though, and I think she's a traitor now. I think she's a traitor because she's joining the Milwaukee Bucks in-game entertainment team, and as a diehard Bulls fan, I just cannot have it. I'm sorry. I can't do it. I understand the business of sports media, and you got to take your jobs where you can, and it's probably, you know, I would imagine a nice pay bump for Miss Jenna there. Love you at the Hawks, but my God, you're a traitor. Can't do that. Fuck the Bucks.
Yeah, not allowed.
I'm not a big basketball guy, so I didn't even really realize we've got a rivalry with the Bucks, and that this was news to me. But you boys are more into the basketball stuff than I am, so I mean, this is nothing for me.
Well, Johnny, Tony, I think it's a universal disdain for the state of Wisconsin. I think is more.
I've got nothing. There's nothing wrong with the state of Wisconsin. Johnny goes up there all the time.
Sure, he opens the cabin, he closes the cabin. Fine. But their sports,
yeah, I don't like the sports teams one bit.
Can be fired to the sun, each and every one of them, including the one that you perhaps root for, Mr. Marchese. They can be especially fired into the sun as well.
Yeah.
So.
No, and we're just breaking balls here. Good for Jenna Rose. You know, she's talented. She deserves that. Yes, applause for Jenna. But and you know, still love you at Blackhawks games. But man, it does hurt my
just don't accidentally wear something Bucks to like.
Yeah, my bleeding red Bulls heart. My question is, when they have their crossover night and they have the whole, you know, last year it was really sweet. They did like the Blackhawks introductions as the Bulls lineup with Sirius and all that. Does she just like take the night off? Is that like a conflict of interest now? I just got to know. That's just my question. If they do a Bulls night later in the year, we'll see. But that's what's ruffling my feathers here today. Guys, I'm going to add a section in here. We got no salt shaker this week. Been relatively mild and not a whole lot of salt going around. So I'm adding in a new segment, and it's called Stick Tap, something you want to shout out. And NHL, they get a lot of flack. Ron, you were just criticizing the schedule making. There's plenty of other issues that have gone on. There are penalties that they just dumped on Ottawa Senators' new ownership. They get blasted for things left and right, all of this. One thing they do right, guys, is Hockey Fights Cancer Month, and that's runs all through November. Each team has a game, and they honor cancer survivors and obviously raise money for cancer research. So I'd say just go and check out the Hockey Fights Cancer stuff on the NHL's website. 100% of the donations and auction bids go to cancer research. You can get some really cool, you know, their lavender-themed sort of, you know, stuff like that. So like the jerseys and pucks and things like that that they have. It's really cool. Blackhawks game will be November 19th when they host the Buffalo Sabres on a Sunday, one of those great 6 o'clock starts. That's November 19th. So I always enjoy going out there, and I got this shirt a couple years ago when I was there, and I think it's really cool. And it's a great play on it because we were just talking about hockey fights, cool and tough. Hockey fights cancer, cooler and tougher.
Yeah, 100%. I think the Hockey Fights Cancer is probably one of the coolest really initiatives I think in all of sports that is for a good cause and is for, you know, a charitable effort. The jerseys that they wear and they have worn historically are always spot on. They're always fantastic. The color schemes are great. I mean, Eddie O, when he was going through his cancer battle, they had the awesome bobblehead with him in the Hockey Fights Cancer jersey. I mean, they really do it up across the NHL, and it's definitely stick tap worthy. Speaking of those awesome jerseys, gentlemen, I'm actually looking right now at a Brandon Saad one from a handful of years ago that, because it went to a good cause, it is now on my wall. So,
how many Brandon Saad jerseys do you have?
I technically have three, one of which does not fit me, and one of which I will never wear. So, right. Technically one if we want to go that direction. But yes, big Brandon Saad guy, obviously, for the longtime listeners.
Yeah, no, makes great collectibles, though, Ron. That's the kind of stuff they that do. I'm talking they about really there with, do. Like, the auction items that they have, and you go and frame it, put it on a wall, you get it a puck in a case, stuff like that.
I was
going to
say, they did the Hockey Fights Cancer pucks, and right. They did, like, mystery autograph pucks one yep. year, and I remember my buddy and I got, like, because they were only, like, $20. We got, like, six of them. I've got a Ryan Carpenter one, actually. Yeah. Sitting upstairs right now.
Very nice. I have a Ryan Carpenter autograph puck as well, but not of the Hockey Fights Cancer variety. But there's a lot of cool stuff. Like I said, just go check out the NHL website there. And I think it's just important because everybody, either themselves or knows someone who has been affected by it. So it's a really cool initiative. That's my stick tap for today. You guys got any more stick taps before we look at what's on tap next?
I got one stick tap. It's for our co-host down below here, Johnny, Ron Luce, giving you the seats for Saturday's game.
Yeah.
He's not going to make it.
Yeah. Right. And you're going to be there, right?
I will be there.
The lovely lady will be there.
Yeah. We will be in attendance at the UC for game two. Ron has not made it out yet, though. I'm getting a little concerned.
I am a little bit too. So hopefully
sticks after Ron for getting you out to the game.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, Ron, I really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to it. That brings us into what's on tap next. Blackhawks obviously have been off all this week, as Ron lamented about earlier, but they'll be back in action for a back-to-back this weekend at home. Florida comes in on Saturday night, 7 o'clock puck drop there, and then New Jersey, 6 o'clock. One of those great 6 o'clock starts on Sunday. So be a tough weekend test for these Blackhawks. Florida's 4-3-1 with 9 points, 6 in the Atlantic coming in. They'll play at Detroit Thursday before visiting the UC on Saturday. In New Jersey, on fire to start the season, Jack Hughes might just, you know, never have a game where he doesn't score again, I don't think. But they're 5-2-1 right now, 11 points, third in the Metro. They'll be at Minnesota Thursday, at St. Louis Friday. Guys, that brings me to my point that I have for this before I hand it off to you. The Hawks better not come out flat in the second half of that back-to-back after 4 days off this week. Then they got 3 days off again before they travel to Tampa to start their next road trip here. You can't have it, especially after an 8-1 ass beating at the hands of the Arizona Coyotes.
Yeah, and double down on the fact that they don't have to leave their own homes for this doubleheader. It's not like you're two on the road back-to-backs. You're getting in late and you're having to get ready for a game. You literally get to stay in your own building. You play 23 hours apart puck drops at the UC over the course of the weekend. As you noted, the rest, Johnny, figure it the fuck out. Get it together. Play CLR-style hockey and get the job done this weekend, especially against two really good teams. This Blackhawks team seems to play better against the really good teams so far this year.
Yeah,
and then against teams like Coyotes, who are not atrocious, but are not great either. They seem to kind of let their foot off the gas.
Yeah, it's funny how we made so much about, the Blackhawks have such a tough schedule because the Bruins were undefeated, the Knights were undefeated, the Colorado Avalanche were undefeated when we played them. And then now we finally get our drop off, and then that's where they just absolutely unraveled there. Just
implode.
Hockey's a wild game, man. It's a wild game. Tony, thoughts on the weekend slate?
I'm excited for it because just like Ron has in his little bio name, it misses hockey. I also do. And I'm excited to get back out to the UC. So they better win on Saturday night when we're there, Johnny. We got out to one game already this season and it didn't really go our way. But I think Saturday can have some victory beers as the final horn sounds is hopefully what happens here. You did bring up a good point, though. It seems like they've been playing up to competition all season, Johnny. And that sort of bodes well for the weekend. I think Florida and New Jersey are definitely better teams than the Blackhawks. I don't think it's as much of a trap game as Arizona was. Little home cooking. I don't know. You send a bunch of young guys onto a college campus. Who the hell knows what was going on down there in Arizona. But it's time to get home and get right. So it's probably going to be 1-1, but Why not an undefeated weekend?
Yeah,
full of victory beers. Full of victory beers and joy. It's the Christmas season, Johnny. We need an early gift.
It's happy hockey days, guys. Happy hockey days. That's November 1st, baby. I love it. We're entering that. We celebrate that early here. I just look at it and like, okay, New Jersey's on. They're starting a road trip at Minnesota Thursday, and it's part of a four-game road trip. Will be the third game of that. I feel like that can wear on a team, even though they are immensely skilled. I feel like that's just an opportunity, though, for the Blackhawks, especially if they have a good effort on Saturday night. You kind of just parlay that and let it roll over into Sunday, right? You come out firing on all cylinders. Like I said, that's exactly what I want to see. So we're about out of time here for season 5. episode 10 of the Four Feathers podcast. This is the Jekyll and Hyde Blackhawks. We got one last question. I'll wrap up before. Do you see us calling anybody up anytime soon? I doubt it. Isaac Phillips was probably the one most deserving of that, and he got his chance, unfortunately, because of injury to Alex Vlasic, but such is life. Cole Gutman, you never know if there's a forward injury. I would say he'd be the next on the horizon there. He obviously started up with the team and then got the shove back down to Rockford because he didn't have to go through waivers. But those are the only two names I had on the radar. Anyone for you guys?
No, I would say at this point in the season, there's not enough Rockford Ice Hogs hockey to really start to distinguish guys that might get a look.
Because we bitch about our schedules. They're like basically set to weekends, essentially. They'll play a few weeknight games. But
you'll see them play on like a Wednesday every once in a while, and then it's mostly Friday through Sunday games for the AHL. I agree with you, Johnny. I think Gutman is the most likely name that you'll see come up, and obviously Phillips has already come up as the first AHL call-up of the season that isn't named Reese Johnson. So, it makes sense. I don't see them calling anybody else up anytime
soon. I see it in Tony's eyes. He's like ready to call up Jackson Stauber.
That's exactly who I'm calling up.
Game on Monday.
That's exactly who I'm calling up.
I saw it in your eyes.
If Stauber keeps having, you know, these disgusting performances, I've been very disappointed in his goaltending outside of that first start he had. And even there was some issues there, but I'd like to see some Jackson Stauber.
I just don't think there's enough AHL hockey under the belt right now, just this early in the season.
But I would pull the trigger immediately.
Right. Well, yeah, that's you are. You're the king of goalie hot takes here. So I love it. That's what we're here for at Four Feathers Podcast. We appreciate all of you joining us for Hawks Happy Hour. It was great cracking them with you, talking Blackhawks per usual. Once again, a little homestand this weekend. Be on the lookout over at Four Feathers Pod on the X and on Instagram. We'll be posting some content from inside the arena in the atrium and all the good stuff that comes along with that. Ron, thanks for the tickets. That'll be my last stick tap of the night. Final thoughts from you guys, and we'll roll on out of here.
I hope you two gentlemen enjoy. I will be able to watch the game just from afar, but I look forward to the first Four Feathers full bar night at the UC, which I'm sure is very, very near on the horizon, gentlemen. But always a pleasure talking Blackhawk hockey with you guys.
Yeah, final thoughts. Saturday can't come soon enough, Johnny. I'm excited. I'm ready. It's rough getting through these weeks with no Blackhawks hockey, and as we've just discussed plenty of times already on the show, there's too many of these breaks in the schedule. Glad we got to do a little happy hour. Cheers, boys.
A good way to wrap it up there. Hopefully we're scratching your itch here with this episode of Four Feathers. You can catch all of our written content over at ontapsportsnet.com. For more clips, subscribe on YouTube, OnTap Sportsnet there. Like us on Facebook as well, so you can join the conversation, have some nice questions here, like our guy Joseph, appreciate that, and Skokes in the comments here today. So per usual, we'll be back Monday, more of a regular schedule, have a couple games to talk about, kind of get back on our right normal routine here at Four Feathers Podcast. But until next time, enjoy the weekend. Enjoy this episode. Let's go, Hawks.
Let's go, Hawks.
Let's go, Hawks, baby.